welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. February is Black History Month. In recognition of that, Muncie Civic Theater is presenting the classic To Kill a Mockingbird, based on Harper Lee's novel about racial inequality in the South. The show runs through February 18th. As Civic prepared to open the show, it held an open house with artifacts from the historic Schaefer Chapel, commemorating Muncie's struggle for civil rights. Maude Jennings, retired Ball State professor, was on hand to lead a conversation about race relations now compared to the 1930s when Mockingbird is set.
He who does not learn from history is condemned to repeat it, and I say this all the time. I find that so many of us may have forgotten. We want to forget some things. I want to forget separate drinking fountains. I want to forget bathrooms. I want to forget travel accommodations. Except that they are much more subtle these days, you see. So you have to stop and figure out, hey, wait a minute, how has it evolved and what am I looking at now?
Can you tell me about this play and the personal meaning that you feel about this?
To destroy something that is beautiful is sinful. The beauty of what can be America is being chipped away at. People keep forgetting that it was founded on something absolutely idealistic and attainable if we could let our prejudices, our fears, our senses of privilege go away. If we can do that and look at a broad picture, at people as people, it's attainable. However, we are dealing with people who do not have imagination, let's say. It's entirely, here I go being superior, but it's entirely possible that they have no imagination. They cannot understand that there is a beautiful thing that can be achieved.
Tell me about Muncie and your time here, how Muncie changed.
You may have seen this in the paper, but the first day I came here, the Ku Klux Klan was marching in downtown Muncie, and I came as one of the token affirmative action students, you see. So here was an opportunity as a recent grad from Manhattan College in New York to further my education. And so the Ku Klux Klan was here, and I was, wait a minute, is this the place I want to be? I stayed. Everybody was extremely helpful, kind, and allowed me to make the changes I needed to make in my life. You see, I'd been in nursing for 25 years before I came, so I'm a perfect example of what can happen when old people decide to go back to school. So there it is.
Could I ask what year that was that you got in?
1978.
In 1978, the Klan was marching in Muncie.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a surprise.
It was. I had not expected it. You see, had lived in Washington, D.C., and had left Washington to go to Connecticut so that I could go to school, left Connecticut to come out here. And so, of course, being an East Coast kid all the time, wait a minute. The only marching I'd ever done was to march when nurses were not being paid as much as sanitation workers. And so that was the extent of my experience at the time. I was very much interested it started, I think, about 1954, when people on ABC, Frank Robinson, had a group of people on ABC who were protesting Jim Crow laws. And from the 50s through to the 60s, when everybody was burning bras and things, it's been that kind of observation, the social world.
So young people don't have that kind of sense of history. What do you want them to know?
I want them to know that what they are doing when they protest is exactly the kind of thing that may change people's minds. They need to be aware that there are these things that are absolutely essential that you have to let people know, I believe in this. And you got to get out there and vote, because they're going to take it away from you if you don't. Gee, I need a placard. I need a banner. Give me something.
Maude Jennings, a former assistant professor of English, theater, and women's studies. She grew up in Harlem, came to Muncie in 1978 to continue her education, and was surprised in that year to see a Klan march in the city. When we come back, more from Muncie Civic and Black History Month.
Nobody turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I just keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on a freedom land.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Watasha Barnes Griffin of the YWCA in Muncie was at Muncie Civic Theater's observance of Black History Month as Civic prepared to open a production of To Kill a Mockingbird.
We are here. Civic invited us to be a part, especially because To Kill a Mockingbird is a very important piece of our history, and the play is really powerful, and definitely with it being Black History Month, they thought what a great way to pull in some local organizations who are focused on the history of blacks, the support of blacks, and what that means in our community. And so with the YWCA, you know, our mission is to eliminate racism and to empower women and to promote peace, dignity, and justice for all individuals. And so what better way to bring it all together than this event tonight? So we're here. And then also just a special piece that I'm a part of is that there is a Martin Luther King Dream Team, and so the MLK Dream Team also tries to do activities and community events that promotes peace and just to kind of help our community remember Dr. King and what he stood for. And so we're excited to be here.
Talk about that idea that we've come some distance, we've got a ways to go.
I mean, we have made great strides. Civil rights movement, we have advanced as a community, and definitely as African American community. Like you said, we've had, you know, a black president, and you know, we've had African Americans in leadership. At the same time, although we've come a long way, we've evolved. We still have work to go, because we see that day to day with different, you know, racial issues that take place, and definitely recently with the tensions with, you know, police and you know, the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, although we've come a ways and we can see those great strides, there are still those things that still need work. And so I definitely believe myself is that organizations in Muncie that support African-American culture, we get that, and we want to make sure that we continue to be uplifting and to encourage peace, to promote the peace, and to say, hey, we haven't arrived. You know, we've got some work to do, but we're open to conversations, and we're open to spearheading some of that. So
imagine for a minute that there's somebody in the audience. They're the voter that we saw in November come out and say, hey, I want to change, or something like that. What's the message that you can give to somebody in that situation to help them understand kind of where you're coming from, where we can't advance if we don't all advance? You know, imagine if you were talking to somebody who, you know, didn't see it. How can you help them see?
We definitely can't change without conversation. So it takes conversation. It takes being engaged and being willing to talk. That's one way. And then just recognizing, and once conversation starts, we kind of can see that although we may have different skin color, we're all the same, and we all have our own separate issues. But together, we can work and we can make some change and move forward. So I think change starts with conversations, just some open dialogues.
Can you talk about this play for a minute?
There is that profound injustice that happens in the movie And although there is injustice, there are still some positives that comes from that. There are still people in every culture, in every generation, that are supportive of those who are wronged, you know. And so I believe that the movie, or the play, I'm sorry, I'm thinking about it as the movie, but the play really does tap into, like, even though it's from years ago, it still is relevant today. I mean, there's still some great lessons in that, is that, you know, we all may suffer injustice, whatever our colors are, but there are always those people that are there to support us and stand behind us, and we just overcome through adversity. So I think there's a great message behind To Kill a Mockingbird.
In the theater itself, meanwhile, director Michael O'Hara, associate dean of Ball State's College of Fine Arts, was getting ready for a final dress rehearsal.
There's a few times in life when everything aligns in a way that makes you feel very happy about what you're doing, and this play was one of those opportunities. When Laura Williamson first asked me to do this about a year ago, I had no idea that the country would go through one of the most divisive elections we've had, perhaps ever. And so a story that is about people overcoming their differences and believing in one another and watching out for your neighbors seems to be one of the most important things anyone could do right now. And I'm so thrilled and so honored to be on this show.
Inside the play itself, is there an element in here that really speaks to you?
I think one of the things that makes this play speak particularly to the American spirit is that it's about underdogs. And many of the characters in their own way are underdogs. And I particularly like the way that most of them find the way that they can be strong, both for themselves and for their neighbors.
Associate Dean Michael O'Hara, director of To Kill a Mockingbird, playing at Muncie Civic through February 18th. Among the quotes from that book, Scout, talking about the misunderstood Boo Radley, tells her father, he was real nice. And her father says, most people are Scout when you finally see them.
One day, I was walking along.
Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
I heard a voice, but I saw no one.
Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
I'm free at last.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Regular listeners know we've been talking about fitness this winter, talking about the things that people do to beat cabin fever, get out and exercise, try to keep up with those New Year's resolutions. So we talked to the exercise professors at Ball State, the Northern Indiana couple who fly their small plane to state parks across Indiana. We talked to the folks from the Indianapolis Hiking Club, who schedule about 2,000 hikes a year for their 600 members. But there's one group we haven't gotten to, and I wonder if you can guess who they are. Yes, we went in search of the Mall Walkers, and at Muncie Mall met the very nice Glenna Herker out for her daily stroll one weekday morning.
I was about 39 years old, and in our neighborhood, we started running, and we ran, and this was in Michigan. Well, then we all moved away, and we started different things and walking, and wherever I've lived, I've walked. I've lived in St. Louis, in Illinois, and here in Michigan, and I've always been a walker. So it's been part of my life, and I think a good thing to get into.
Tell me about mall walking.
Mall walking? Well, I think it's a great thing because you meet people. I meet people that I would never have known about them, and it's a kind of a secondary friendship that you set up when you walk at the mall. It's a great thing. I would recommend it anyway. Sure, it gets boring. It gets boring sometimes. Sometimes you have to push yourself to do it, but we have the window displays we can look at, and I go four times around, so that takes me. You know, I like to clip along. I have some friends I walk with that I have met out here, and we have a lot of things in common, so we just walk together and meet on other occasions too, at basketball games, etc. But it's a great thing for anyone to get into, whatever your age, and I think you'll find that there is a man here who is 99 years old that walks, so never give up on it.
You've always been active.
Yes, I have. Yes.
And that's important in staying healthy.
It is. It is. And being active, watching what you eat, all those kind of things. All those things they tell you, you know, it never works perfectly, but that's what you have to do, I think. And walking is important.
You've lived in so many places. when you do this kind of walking, you get to meet people. I mean, have you formed an impression about Muncie people in the time that you've been here?
Yes, I have. I've lived in a number of different places, and I grew up in South Dakota, where that's far away from here. And it reminds me a lot of the people I knew when I grew up there. The people here are very friendly and outgoing, and they will speak to you whether they know you or not. Some places it's not quite the same, or it takes them a while to kind of form a friendship and say hello and good morning and all that kind of thing. But here, you, whoever I see, I may not know them, but I may say good morning or good afternoon or whatever.
Angie Hedge was there walking for her health.
Well, I went to the doctor, high blood pressure, so I thought, you know, I can move and walk, I can do that, and maybe I can get off the high blood pressure medicine, lose the weight, I'd be healthier. And there's a lot of people here walking. You know, the new year, everybody's motivated. So I just hope I can stick with it. And it's nice to walk in here because you're out of the elements.
There's some benefits here. Tell me about the benefits.
Oh, just, you know, you feel so much better. I mean, your outlook on life is a lot better. You're just happier. Your mood is better. You just feel better. Feel like moving and doing more. So,
Beck Hannaford was walking at the mall with his wife Christy. This was one of those really cold days. I think he would have rather been outside and was a little embarrassed to be among the mall walkers.
Well, the problem is all these people are old and I'm not. That's my only problem. But actually, we used to come here when it was even earlier. But you know, the mall changed their hours on us. So, I enjoy walking. Always have enjoyed walking. My wife's grandparents were famous walkers from Switzerland and Germany, meaning they walked their whole life before it was popular to walk, you know. And it's a nice time for me to relax. I enjoy it very much. With a little luck, I'll lose a pound.
Talk about how much you do.
I walk every day on the golf course in the summer, but since the golf courses are closed now, sort of, I don't know, what do? Walk three times a week?
I walk more.
Get over here,
Dom. Christy walks.
I walk more than three times a week. Yeah. I walk at least six.
She's the better walker.
Okay, take over.
There you go. You got your cameo moment.
Your wife has abandoned you. What's the matter?
I don't know. She's the silent leader, I guess. Yeah.
Well, the thing about walking is, if you're walking outside in the winter when there's ice, it can
be dangerous. Yeah, and we don't want to break our hips. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, in any event, I'm thankful that the mall's here and they open up to us for us, and it's so convenient. And there's although I'm not a part of the crew, there's quite a little culture out here, you know.
Tell me about that.
Well, I don't know much about it. I read it I've seen articles in the newspaper, you know, but these people seem to be friends and acquaintances and that sort of thing, and it's neat they do it.
What's your age, Beck?
How old am I? 67.
You're a useful guy. I mean, you tell me about the benefits of walking.
I fight arthritis, and my doc tells me to keep moving. So that's one of the benefits. And burn some calories. It's a great time to think, plan what you're going to do, solve problems of the world. Enjoy it very much.
And Christy, do you have to talk her into this?
No, she's the actual exercise fanatic. She drags me along. Without a doubt, yeah. She's been doing this for years and years and years.
Why walk?
A lot of other people ought to start it, take it from me, to save your knees. And I got two bad knees, and I'm sure that might have had something to do with it, not to mention my weight and build and all those sort of things and arthritis, but it's got a lot of benefits.
Bob Ingram, 70, stopped to chat.
About 9-10 years ago, I was a smoker. I got mad, wanted to quit, so every time I wanted a cigarette, I'd go for a walk. And I got to where this progress, and got over the habit anyway.
How long you been walking, and how much do you walk?
I try to walk 3 miles every day.
One of the things that people like about walking in the mall is folks are friendly.
Yeah, they're real friendly, and I get to know a whole bunch of people.
What does walking do for you?
It keeps your heart rate up, helps your blood pressure stay down, keeps your cholesterol down. So it's good deal for that.
You're a Vietnam veteran you're an infantry soldier. You walked. What's the longest you ever walked? What's the hardest walk you ever did in the service or out?
In the service. in the mountains of Bongsong. You had to pack that radio, all your gear, your ammo, your canteens, and we'd up and down, and do it all day long. So, you know, I was a pretty strong little dude when I come back. I can handle it.
You know, like you're explaining, imagine you were talking to a group, you know, and maybe there were seniors. You know, they're not as healthy as you, but you're explaining, hey, look, you, when you come here, there's some good things for you.
Yeah, there's good people. So you meet them, you know, and some walk slow, some walk fast. I walk slower than I used to walk because I had a 2015. I had a bad case of pneumonia, almost died, and I was on my back for 17 days. Lost all the muscle in my legs, my arms. It's a long process building back up. So I walk slower than what I used to walk. I used to walk real fast. I get this 3 miles done in 45 minutes. Now it takes me an hour, 15 minutes. So.
Without a doubt, the happiest person we met was Idella Clark.
Walking helps my health. It helps me keep down stress. When I pray and walk and meditate, it just helps me. It keeps my heart rate in the right place. It helps lower my blood pressure. Walking does a lot of great things for me. And I notice walking helps keep you looking young. And you'll be able to take care of your grandbabies and all of that good stuff when you're young. So I thank God because he gave me the strength to walk. Myself, I'm a speed walker. And I've been walking for years. I started walking at the Muncie Mall about 20, 22 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. And it has really helped my health. Every time I go for a checkup, the Lord blesses me to get a good report, and I'm just so thankful because walking has truly helped me.
Ms. Idella, can I ask your age, please?
I am 64, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'll be 65 if the Lord allow me to live to see April of this year.
How much walking do you do? How often and how far?
I try to do it every day that I possibly can. Most of the time it's like 4 days a week, and I do at least 7 or 8 laps a day.
It's 10 below zero, I'm such a hero. I never wear a muffler or a glove. While all the world has frosty noses, I'm knee-deep in roses, walking in the sunshine of your love.
That's Idella Clark, one of the walkers we met at the Muncie Mall recently as we continued our occasional series on winter exercise. You also heard from Beck and Christy Hannaford, Angie Hedge, and Glenna Herker. The one constant through those conversations is how good these folks feel. And you know, we felt pretty good just talking to them. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, Debbie Webb, Alicia Franklin, and Elena McKenzie. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.